in Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 11, having the glory of God in her light, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length in it as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor and the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Father God, as we pause this morning, as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture on heaven today, I pray that you would remind us that we are just strangers and pilgrims wandering through this alien world in which we live. Father, but this is not our home. We're only passing through. Help us this morning, O God, to get the excitement of what heaven is going to be like one of these days. God, help us to realize that this old world, with all of its problems, with all of its sorrow and sadness and curses and diseases, and Father, all of the tragedies of this life, one of these days will all be behind us. And forever in eternity, God, we will live, we'll rule, we'll reign, we'll serve. And Father, we will live in a glorious state of wonderful bliss for all eternity. Thank you for the wonderful hope we have in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, in whose name we pray. Amen. As I look at the sanctuary this morning and see all the candelabras up here of the lights that were out the other day when the electricity flickered here at the church, only for about a second it fried the lights, and so that's why we do not have these lights on this morning. But as I was reading that passage of Scripture there, where John gives us this wonderful, incredible, vivid description of heaven, one of these days we won't need lights because Jesus Jesus, who is the light of the world, will light that city for us with his wonderful, wonderful presence. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 10, we're told that Abraham was looking, the Bible says, for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, just as Abraham was looking for that city, you and I ought to be looking for heaven. We ought to be longing for heaven, and we ought to be living for heaven. Billy Sunday, the great baseball player who was also a preacher in the early days of last century, he said, if we could get a real appreciation of what heaven is, we would all be so homesick for heaven that the devil wouldn't have a friend left on this earth. How true that is today. Now, I've mentioned before that the Jews and the Greeks spoke about three heavens. And one, the first heaven's the atmospheric heaven where the planes fly and the birds and the butterflies fly through the air out there. The second heaven is the planetary heavens that are out there where the sun, the moon, and the stars are and the galaxies and all of those. But the third heaven, somewhere in the far north, as the Bible speaks about, is the third heaven that the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he was caught up by the Spirit, he said, into the third heaven. This is God's dwelling place. Someone put it this way, you and I see the first heaven by day, we see the second heaven by night, but we see the third heaven, one of these by sight, one of these days. And so here in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 11 through chapter 22, verse 5, we are given a glimpse of heaven. We get this snapshot, this unbelievable scene that we have. And this wonderful description is certainly not an exhaustive description of heaven, because the Apostle Paul said when he was given this wonderful vision, this glimpse of this third heaven, he said that eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, our text here in Revelation chapter 21 gives us an inside look at what heaven is going to be like. We're going to look specifically at the capital city of heaven, which the Bible speaks about, the new Jerusalem. First of all, on your outline there in the bulletin, I have it outlined for you. The first thing we see is the location of this eternal city. It's a real place. Let me tell you, I spend many, countless hours doing funeral services. I have done a ton of those since January of last year. I've done hundreds of them through the years. And so perhaps, maybe that's why I'm so reminded on a weekly basis of what heaven is going to be like. It's because I am there trying to comfort families, trying to comfort people, trying to share with people about the importance of making a decision for Christ, to know that when your number is up on this earth, that there's a wonderful place to go if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so I'm speaking oftentimes about heaven, this wonderful place. Now, John emphasized in those first two verses that this new heaven, this new earth, this new Jerusalem, that it is a real place that he actually saw. It's not some spiritual figment of his imagination. It's a literal place. We're given the dimensions of this place. And as you look at verses 18 and following, we were given the materials that make up this wonderful New Jerusalem. Both of these signify to us the measurements of it and the materials that John lists here. In Revelation chapter 1 and 22, it is a real literal place. Jesus spoke about it in John 14 when he said, I'm going to prepare you a place. place. Well, what is this place? It's a renewed place. This present world that you and I live in was not only created by God, but according to the Bible, this old world that you and I presently live in will one of these days be cremated by God as well. This world will be the same world, but it will be a new world that's purged by fire. If you're saved this morning, the Bible says you are a new creation. You're the same you, but a new you. And you are purged by the fire of God's redemption. In fact, the psalmist said in the 102nd Psalm, verses 25 and 26, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Verse 26, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Let me tell you, one of these days, this new earth that we read about here is going to be a world that is going to be filled with all of the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. In fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, for behold, God is speaking here, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Did you get that? A lot of people wonder, when we get to heaven, will we remember all of these things of this old world? Absolutely not. Isaiah speaks well about what God had to say about it. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former, that young people is the one we live in right now, shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Let me tell you, the trials, the sorrows, the situations of this life, they will not be remembered. People so often say, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask is this, this, and this. No, you won't. According to the Bible, you're not going to remember it, because you're going to have a whole different perspective. You're going to have a whole different focus about this incredible heaven and earth, this new heaven and earth. And John said in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the presence of God is there. Let me tell you, in Revelation verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Let me tell you, once God walked with man every day in the Garden of Eden, there was daily fellowship between God and Adam and Eve. But then sin came into the world, and that fellowship was broken. But according to the Bible, there's coming another day when he will once again tabernacle in our midst with his children. And so that will be for all eternity. We will no longer pray the model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, because we will be in that eternal heaven with the Father. It'll be a place that's absent of grief. Let me tell you, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, and God we'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. Did you realize this morning, all over the world, tears are flowing from people's eyes? Let me tell you, if God didn't want us to cry, if God didn't want us to weep, he would have never put tear glands in our eyes. Let me tell you, tears are our language, the songwriter said, that only God understands. God sees your tears this morning. God knows every tear that falls from your eyes this morning. God knows your hurts. God knows your losses. God knows your pain. And the wonderful thing is, those will not be forever. That's the beauty and the wonder and the glory and the majesty. Sharon sang so beautifully about a few moments ago, "Welcome to heaven, my child." Let me tell you, the Bible says creation, this earth, creation is groaning for the day of redemption. And let me tell you, all of us, if we were honest, we would say we are groaning. We are groaning for that day when we can live in that eternal state of heaven for all eternity. Let me tell you, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let me tell you, tears are real, and tears help us in moments and times of distress and grief. But let me tell you, there's a thrilling thought this morning. One of these days, there'll be no more broken homes. There'll be no more broken hearts. There'll be no more broken hopes. There will be no more broken health. There will be no pain, no moaning, no sighing, no dying, no crying, no sickness, no suffering, and no sorrow. It'll be a land with no more hospitals. There will be no need for medical care in those days. There'll be no need for medicine. There'll be no need for doctors. Dr. George W. Truett, who pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas some 50 years before Dr. W.A. Criswell became the pastor and pastored it another 50 years, Dr. George W. Truett was visiting one of his church members one day who was on their deathbed. And as Dr. Truett prayed with that man, he shook his hand and said to the man lying in bed dying, "Friend, you will be better in the morning." And the man looked up at Dr. Truett and said, "Pastor, I won't be better in the morning. I will be well in the morning." He was, because the next morning he had gone to that city that we sing about, Sweet Beulah Land. Let me tell you, it'll be a place where there are no sick people, no graves, no obituary columns, no funeral processions, because death will be swallowed up in victory. But I want you to know not only the location of this city and the loveliness of this city, but thirdly, the law of this city. Cities have laws. Laws that are to be obeyed and put into order. There are three laws that will govern the city of this New Jerusalem. Number one will be the law of satisfaction. In verse 6 of chapter 21 of Revelation, John said, "And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha," young people, that word Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. "And Omega," that's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is saying, the beginning and the end. "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Every thirsty, every God-given desire will be totally fulfilled. It will be completely satisfied. Jesus will be supplying all of the needs that we will ever have, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the conception of all things. He is the consummation of all things, and he is the connection of all things in between. He will satisfy every thirst. He will fulfill every hunger. Let me tell you, not only do we see the law of satisfaction of this city, but we see the law of service. Verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We are told in this passage, we're going to inherit all things. We will not only be the executors and the administrators, as it were, of God's estate. You do know that God gave Adam the first estate, which is the present earth that we live on, or when he started the world all over again after the flood. God gave him dominion over the earth. God told him to reign and to rule over it. But you will well remember Adam sinned. He forfeited his inheritance and he lost his first estate. But God is going to restore that lost inheritance through the second Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, young people, we're going to rule and reign and serve the living God. You see, heaven is not only a place of resting, but it's a place of ruling. It's not only a place of leisure, it's a place of labor. According to Revelation 22:3, tells us that in heaven we will be his servants, that we're going to serve him. You will remember Jesus once gave a parable of the talents. He said to one man who was faithful with his 10 talents, he said, you will be faithful over 10 cities. Let me tell you, God is getting you and me ready in our work down here to do a great work for him in this new heaven and this new earth. But I'm afraid the average Christian sees heaven as just some eternal retirement home where we sit around on a puffy white cloud and pluck a ukulele or a harp and eat grapes and be fanned by the angels. But that's not the biblical picture that we're told. There will be a great work in heaven. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said many years ago when he reached heaven, he would stand at the corner of one of the streets and proclaim to the angels the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Young people, did you realize the angels know nothing about salvation? The Bible says the angels long to understand about salvation. When I read that about Charles Spurgeon, I thought, what an interesting thing. Spurgeon said, someday I'll stand at the corner of one of the streets of heaven and proclaim to the angels the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Well, let me tell you, it's going to be the law of security. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me tell you, heaven will be a safe place to live. Any of you ever watched 2020, 48 Hours? Any of you ever watch any of that? And you see all the murders that take place. You see the psychopathic serial killers that are out there in the world today. Let me tell you, you won't have to worry one of these days in that eternal heaven. It's going to be a safe place. There won't be any locks on doors. No night there. No need to fear the criminal, because there will be no criminals save for those who ask for repentance and receive Christ as their personal Savior. Heaven will be a place where righteousness and holiness abounds. And then this morning, I want you to see not only the location of this city, the loveliness of this city, the law of this city, but let's look at the luster of this city. The Bible lets us know it's going to be a unique city. It's going to be a mysterious city. Look in chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Those are the things that God's going to send on this earth during the end of times, during the tribulation, the plagues. Notice this angel, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride. Who's the bride, church? It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every saved person from the day of Pentecost is the church. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb is Jesus. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I mentioned this last Sunday morning. I think it bears repeating that you and I need to understand, when somebody passes from this life and they are a Christian, they're saved, they know Jesus, they've been born again, they're a new creation in Christ, They immediately go into the presence of Jesus. Where do they go? They go to where Jesus resides in the third heaven. That's where they are. They're alive. They're well. They're safe. They're secure. In the presence of Jesus, they are there. And let me tell you, that is a temporary place. But the eternal heaven is going to be upon this earth one of these days, because John said, I saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. That holy city is going to come down to this earth one day, this new heaven and this new earth. Now, if a person dies and they are lost and they don't know Jesus, where do they go? They temporarily go to a place of torment. But their final eternal state, according to the Bible, will be the lake of fire and brimstone, the Bible says. The Bible says where the worm does not die. That's speaking about the conscience. They'll be in a conscious state of every day knowing that they rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I never stand at a funeral service that I try to always tell people, the most important decision you'll ever make in life is to settle your account with Jesus at Calvary. To make sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've asked Jesus into your heart. Because someday you will pass this life, unless we're privileged to be alive when Jesus raptures us out of this world. But the most important thing is to know where you're going when you leave this life. Let me tell you, there in the presence of this great city, let me tell you, the glory of God is one of the most awesome things. How do you describe the indecent glory of God? Can you just imagine this morning what heaven is today? Let me tell you, the Bible said when Solomon finished building that magnificent temple, the Bible says when the glory of God filled that magnificent temple, it was so great, it was so incredible that the priest could not continue ministering. They had to leave the building. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That should get every one of us excited for heaven. It's such a wonderful, awesome place. I believe it will take an eternity just to explore all that God has for us. Verse 18 to 21, I'm not going to read that. I read it a few moments ago. It tells us about the city is a city of gold. The gates are of pearl. And all of these precious stones that make up this majestic city. When you think of some of the most grandiose places in this present world that you and I live in, and the beauty and the splendor of them, let me tell you, they will look like dumps compared to what Almighty God is preparing for us. Let me tell you, it's a massive city. Verse 15 to 17 talks about the measurements of this city. And it speaks about how big this city is. It's a perfect cube, young people. It will have the same length, the same height, the same breadth. And it says 1,200 furlongs, which equals the city will be a cube, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles deep. Did you realize, young people, that if you measured that off, this is how big that holy city in the third heaven is this morning? If you went to the top of Maine on the map of the United States, and you went all the way down to the southern tip of Florida, it's so huge it would cover all of Ireland, all of Great Britain, all of France, all of Spain, all of Germany, all of Austria, all of Italy. and all of the European Turkey and half of European Russia, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Now you might say, well, why is that holy city so large? I believe it's because God is telling us He's made room for anyone and everyone who's willing to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when Jesus was born into the world, let me tell you, He came to the earth and there was no room for Him in the end. But I want you to know God has enough room for all of the world to come if they will heed His warning. Fifth and lastly this morning, the Lord of this city, verse 5 and 6 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Let me tell you, Jesus is the Lord of this city. Heaven with all of its beauty, with all of its splendor, would not be heaven without Jesus. I'm grateful to know that He is the light of the world, and we won't need any light, for He will be the light. Isaiah said in Isaiah 60:19, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." Let me tell you, the Lord is the light of the city. The Lord is the life of that city. And let me tell you what, let me say this morning, if you have loved ones that have left this life and they're in that wonderful, incredible place, let me tell you, just remember this. You're longing for them. You're looking for them. Is just temporary. It's just a speck on the time of this world, because one of these days you will be with them for all eternity down here in this new heaven and this new earth. John said, "I saw that city. It was coming down from God out of heaven." And let me tell you what, you and I cannot even begin to comprehend. We can't even begin to imagine the beauty and the splendor and the indecent glory of Almighty God. Be encouraged this morning. Your loved one is seeing that holy city that you and I can only read about. We can't even begin to imagine what they are experiencing this morning in that city built four square, 1,500 miles wide, length, long. Can you only imagine what that is like and what's going on there today in the presence of Jesus and the created angels that are there? Let me tell you, this life is temporal. So God would say, get on with life. Get on with life. You're going to be with your loved ones again one of these days. So do the most important thing. Continue on. Persevere. That doesn't mean that you won't cry. That doesn't mean that you won't have off days and down days. But it means this. It's what we do down here right now that makes the difference in this wonderful heaven one of these days. I read where a little boy was blind. He had not been able to see since he was born. He had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, medical science, scientifically. They had come up with something to try to restore vision to him. And even though he had been blind for so many years of his life, and his mother would tell him how beautiful the green trees were and the grass in the spring of the year, and how the beautiful trees in the fall of the year would turn to their wonderful colors as the great artist Jesus of all time took his earthly canvas and splashed the various colors to make what you and I who can see with the rods and the cones in our eyes, we can see coloration. Let me tell you, after they took the patches off of that little kid's eye, and he began to look out the window, and he walked over to the window, and he said, "Oh, Mom, you never, ever described what this is truly, truly like." Let me tell you, there was a medic. He was out on the battlefield. There was a young man that had fallen in battle, and he was dying, and the medic went over to him, and he leaned down to see if he could hear the faint of a breath coming out of this young man. And this young soldier was doing all he could do to eke out, to let the medic know he was still alive. But all he could say was, "Here, here, here." The medic said, he leaned down and he said, "What are you trying to say?" And the young soldier said, "They're calling the roll in heaven. And they just called my name. And I'm here. I'm here. I'm here." Let me ask you a question this morning. When the roll is called up yonder, will your name be called? Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, we've done the best that we know how to present this message on heaven and this wonderful, incredible, glorious place that we're going to be someday for all eternity with our loved ones and friends that predeceased us in Christ. And God, what you've got planned for us, I can only imagine that loved ones over there this morning are saying, "Oh, if Mom and Dad only knew. Oh, if Grandma only knew. Oh, if my friends only knew the splendor of this glorious place that I'm in, and that they're going to get to share with me one of these days as they are cheering us on from the grandstands of heaven this morning. May we pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, and may we move forward in this race. And Father, may we give of our best to the Master until we are joined with them for all eternity in this wonderful, incredible, glorious new heaven and new earth that we cannot even fathom. We could not even begin to comprehend one inch, one jot, or one tittle, oh God, of what this incredible, glorious place is going to be like someday. Father God, if there's someone listening today that needs Jesus, may they turn in faith, believing, and receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.